Take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes. As I said, this will be finishing up what we looked at. And we'll be looking at a few more verses and reading a few more passages when I get to my conclusion to the end here. But just a reminder from this morning that we looked at the title or the theme here, the meaning of life stuff, or the way I titled this was the answer to all of life's question, was another way to put it. And so we have here that we saw that life ends the same for all, with death or punishment for sin. We saw that life is unpredictable. There is chaos that is the result of man's free will to sin. And then we saw that life is in God's hands, which brings us comfort, because God controls the reach of sin. The fourth point that I would like to finish up with out of the book of Ecclesiastes is this, that life is to be lived then by wisdom. That is the instruction on how to overcome sin. Life is to be lived by wisdom. Instructions on how to overcome sin. As we look through Ecclesiastes, we see the vanity of life without God. We see now the importance of trusting in God, knowing that God is in control and controls the reach of sin upon us and into our lives if we will allow him. And the way he does that is he gives us wisdom. He has given us wisdom in his word, in the Bible. And I just want to see two things in this final point about wisdom, how we live our life by wisdom. The first thing we need to recognize, the first thing we need to understand, is that wisdom is superior. Whose wisdom are we talking about? Let's establish that first. The wisdom that we're talking about is God's wisdom. The wisdom we receive from God to live our lives according to his word and according to his will. And that is what Solomon was talking about when in chapter 2 and verse 13, he makes the statement, "Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness." Now, what is darkness? Obviously, spiritually speaking, we think of darkness as sin. And that's why he uses this particular picture. But scientifically, what is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. And so he gives a comparison here that wisdom excelleth folly or overpowers folly equal to or as pictured by the fact that light defeats darkness. Darkness is the absence of light, anything by which to see. And so it fills the void. And so wisdom fills the void in our human fleshly heart, the folly that is within us because of our own sin nature. So he says, "I saw that wisdom, God's wisdom, excelleth folly." And then in chapter 8 and verse 1, he makes this comment. He says, "A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed." And then in chapter 9, verses 16 and 18, he said, "Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than weapons of war." So we see that God's wisdom is superior to all things here upon earth. Everything he's been talking about here in the book of Ecclesiastes, all the vanity of living life without God, is a folly because it does not have God at its core. And so wisdom that brings peace, wisdom that brings us a purpose and a reason for living, God's wisdom is very important. And we can only receive that from God himself by his preserved word and by his spirit working in and through us to understand that word and helping us learn it and understand it. He gives some illustrations, and I just want to look more particularly at chapter 9 as we look at this illustration where he says, he's talking about that there was found a little city and few men within it, in other words, not very many to protect it, to defend it. And there came a great king against it, and he besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. So it's a little city. This king probably thought he would be able to overthrow it very easily. But in verse 15, he says, now there was found in it a poor, wise man. Someone who was not great in the city, did not have great wealth, was not well known, but he was wise. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. But the illustration here is that wisdom, the wisdom of that man, though he is unremembered, though he is unnamed, is what was able to defeat a great and mighty king and his forces who came and besieged the small city. Because someone had wisdom, and someone shared that wisdom. That wisdom was better than the strength of many men. And we've seen that in many cases throughout history, where what seemed to be insurmountable odds for one side, God worked and allowed them to have the victory. In my Sunday school class, we've been talking about Moses and Joshua, this quarter more particularly Joshua, and now we're into the Judges. But we've been talking about the victories that God gave to the people of Israel, though they were small in number compared to the people of the Promised Land. And how that when they followed God and they obeyed God, he gave them the victory because he fought for them. And he gave them many unusual things and ways to defeat their enemies, but all ways that brought him honor and brought him the glory. Because wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war. So we see that wisdom is superior. But not only that, we see that wisdom then brings success. We've already touched upon that with the illustration of this small city. But in chapter 7, he says this in verses 11 through 12. He says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. And then a few verses later, in verse 19, he says, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. So our life is to be lived by wisdom, by God's wisdom. And that is why we need to understand this. That is why Solomon wrote this book of Ecclesiastes to, yes, illustrate how vain life is on its own, how vain the wisdom of man is by itself, but then to bring us to the focus of God's wisdom in contrast to that. Just as light contrasts with darkness, God's wisdom contrasts with the darkness of man's wisdom and is far superior. So as we finish up this, I want to read just a few passages. So I'd like you to turn with me, first of all, to chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, because I believe that these passages really sum up what Solomon was trying to say here in this book and to illustrate everything that we've covered today regarding what is covered in Ecclesiastes. And this first passage you may be familiar with, a lot of people are. In verse 1 it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Again, here's the question for life, an answer to get the life question, what is our profit? He says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. God is in control throughout all this chaos. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We cannot understand all the ways that God works in this world. He says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. God gives us all things, if you remember that from this morning. And then to chapter 9, verses 7 to 10. What is the instruction that God gives? He says, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. How can he say that? Only if we live in the wisdom that God gives us. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. And that is a picture of living a righteous life. Live joyfully with a wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, when you're dead, it's over. So enjoy your life, directed by God, and that is your purpose in life, to be led by God, and to have joy in that. And then to chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Remember, we talked about the chaos that sin brings in our life. But if we live our life focused on that chaos, saying, well, this might happen, or I might not get the end result that I want, then you're not going to do anything. You won't be successful. Live in God's wisdom. Do what you know to do. And let God take care of the results, is what he's saying here. I like the picture here that Solomon gives of the child that grows in the womb of her that is with child. As I've grown up and talked to my mom, who, when she began her nursing career, worked specifically for many years in the maternity ward, taking care of mothers who were having children. And then learning more and more about that. And even now, doctors that I've talked to have said, it's a miracle that any people are born. They can give you scientific and medical reasons for this and that, but they still cannot explain how a human being is formed in the womb. Truly, they cannot explain how life can start that way. Can't explain it. It's a mystery of God, but it happens, and it's a miracle that God allows to happen all the time. We don't know how these things happen. We don't know what the result will be, but we trust in God and we live in his wisdom. and he gives us purpose. And then chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, as he finishes up this book, he says this, because this is what the end result, the end thought he wants us to leave with, and this is what I want to leave you with today, is this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is the answer to all of life's questions. Fear God and keep his commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So my challenge to you today, this afternoon, as we finish this up, is keep these things in mind. Remember what Solomon taught us in the book of Ecclesiastes. We don't know what's going to happen because there's chaos in this world from sin. We don't know what the end result of our actions will always be because sin brings that chaos and then ultimately sin brings that death. But we take comfort that we have a God who overworks the effects of sin upon us and in this world. I've heard it said many times before, I can only imagine how horrible this world is going to be when all the Christians in this world are raptured and the Spirit is taken out of this world. Because that's what's going to happen when the rapture happens. The Spirit will literally be taken out from his influence upon this world. There will still be working. People will still get saved, but it will be a drastically different picture. And people are going to see how bad it's really going to get. But as Christians, we don't have to face that. We'll be face to face with the giver of wisdom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can take comfort in that. But we have to live by his wisdom today.